we are continuing in our study on sanctification with Pastor Brian Parrish. And let's join Pastor Brian as he looks at the different views of sanctification.
The Methodist Church, the Nazarene Church, and oftentimes when a church has holiness on it, holiness whatever, not every church that has that listed on their building, but those types of churches preach this doctrine that you could come to a point in your spiritual maturity that you no longer have the desire for sin, you're completely set apart for the Lord. And here's the interesting twist on this. They say this happens by faith. It's really not an action or a work that you perform. You just believe that's part of the gospel. And at some point, some subjective experience that you have where you've trusted the Lord sufficiently, then you're entirely sanctified. But what happens then when you're in a position where you're entirely sanctified and you sin, then you're unsanctified and you need to exercise that faith again. And you just see how subjective that is. And have you ever come to the point you'd have to examine, am I really completely trusting Christ and His work? Come on, we're all wrestling with that. And you don't ever come to a point where you're 100% trusting in the Lord and His work. And I believe that brings frustration. I believe that brings two things that are absolutely detrimental to the Christian walk. I think it kind of gives you a two-tiered system within the body of Christ. And by the way, many of those churches would call that the baptism with the Holy Spirit or the second blessing. These are some old terms that are used to apply to these things. And what I've witnessed in people that say, well, I've had this experience, it's kind of like that's the end of their Christian walk. And they no longer continue to have a hunger and a desire for righteousness. And I see in my own life there's so much more that I want God to do. I haven't had any experience that brought me to a plateau, but my goal is to be made in the image and likeness of Christ, and I'm far from that. And so that causes still a deep longing for the work of God, not a satisfied, well, I've experienced all that God could do. I'm entirely sanctified. I'm entirely set apart. What's next? And I see that just builds in a stagnation in people's lives. See, there's no one experience in the body of Christ that kind of settles it. Paul the Apostle said that he keeps pressing on. And I would encourage you to have that same mentality that he did, that you keep pressing forward to the things that God has called for you in your own spiritual maturity, as well as in the ministry and the things that God wants to do through your life. Don't ever be satisfied, not to the point where you're kicking yourself and condemning yourself, but where you're desiring for more of God's work within your heart and life. And I fear for my own life that I would come to that point where I'm just satisfied. I don't want to be at that point because I know God has so much more that He wants to do in me and through me. And I believe that this teaching lends towards that. It just kind of, people settle with, well, I've had this experience and that's kind of the end. That's the goal. And I believe that that's harmful in people's lives. Some of the passages that they use are these ones in 1 John saying it is possible to come to that point to not sin. But turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. And they would say there's two different types of believers, those that are sanctified and those that are being sanctified. And they would use these passages like this to prove that. Verse 10 of Hebrews 10. It says, by that we all have been sanctified. Notice that's past tense. Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So it's here's this group of people that are sanctified, completely set apart. It's a completed work. But look at verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected those who are being sanctified, and that seems to be like a process. And so they would come to passages like this and say, see, there's some people that are completely sanctified, perfected in love or whatever term they would want to experience. They've come to that by faith, and there's others that haven't got there yet. And we'll look at why that just isn't accurate explanation of these passages a little bit later. So I would say that both those, again, take away from our righteous standing based on what Jesus Christ did on the cross. It's not because I'm entirely sanctified that I find acceptance before God, but because of what Jesus Christ did for us. Let's always go back to the cross. That's where it's all at. That's what Paul said. The only thing I wanted to know among you is Christ and Him crucified. Don't let any doctrine, any teaching take away from the centrality of the cross of Christ and that completed work that Jesus accomplished. Third view. This is probably one that's I couldn't pin it to a group. I don't really know what to call it. I just call it the believer just needs to trust the Lord. And this one drives me crazy because there is some truth to it. I've called it flop theology. It's kind of flop and the Lord does the rest. And the idea is, well, if you just learn just to trust Christ and get out of the way, God will do it. And there are phrases, let go and let God, that would circulate in these types of ideas. And there is nothing wrong with that phrase. But I believe it doesn't present the right balance of my own responsibility for my spiritual welfare in Jesus Christ. I can't change myself, but I'm definitely exhorted to do some things within the Scripture. He doesn't say, just trust me and I'll do it. The Bible tells me, pick up the Word of God and read it and hide it in your heart so you won't sin against the Lord. I'm encouraged to pray. I'm encouraged to be involved in fellowship. I'm not this kind of limbo thing and just, oh, go for it, Lord, and do your thing. No. I need to draw near to God, and He will draw near to me. And they would use such passages that I've written down there, Galatians 5:16. See, everyone has Bible passages to support their view. That's a dangerous thing. And, you know, I wouldn't be teaching on doctrine on Sunday nights unless I've done verse-by-verse studies through the Scriptures, because that's what's going to help you interpret these passages accurately as you've done book studies and went through verse by verse, so you're not yanking things out of context. Galatians 5, verse 16. I'm in Ephesians. I better get over to Galatians. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So you just need the power of God's Spirit, and you won't carry out the desires of the flesh. And so what you need to do is learn how to get out of the way. Just trust God, let go and let God. That's why I call it just kind of flopping. I don't know else how to describe it. And then God will do the rest. In Philippians 1, it says, God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Although I believe there's a great truth to that, that's only one side of the coin. Because there's other passages which exhort us to do things. And if you're not doing those things, you're not going to be walking in the Spirit. You're not going to be experiencing the power of God. I don't care how, you know, close the Bible may get to you, you need to open up and you need to read it. And it's not just, okay, I'm trusting you. And the frustrating thing about this is what happens is, okay, one minute I'm trusting God and God's power is working. Oh, now I got in the flesh. Oh, but now I'm back in the Spirit. Now I'm trusting God and now I'm back. And you're going back and forth, and it's nonsense. And can you ever really say that you're completely out of the way of what in your life? Are you ever 100% trusting Jesus Christ and no trust at all in yourself? Maybe for a second, and then you wake up and you're back trusting yourself to a degree. Here's the real problem. What these views are trying to do is they're trying to say once you get saved, that sin nature is gone. And the desire for sin is completely removed, and it's not. And within our sin nature, the desire that we have to continue to sin, there's an evil desire in us that reigns within our life to want to trust in ourself. I believe we inherited that from Adam. When he was caught with sin, what did he try to do? He tried to cover himself up with fig leaves. He tried to really undo the shame that he was experiencing because of sin. Trying to undo sin in some way. And ever since that, every individual, as recorded in the Scriptures as well as our own life, we have the desire to justify ourselves before God and try and accomplish the work of God in our own strength. And that's just automatic. That's why churches that are religious and emphasize man's work are very popular, because that appeals to the flesh, that appeals to the pride. But you tell someone, look, it's only through Jesus Christ and Him alone. Well, what about, you know, I'm a good person. I have good intentions. You have to receive the kingdom humbly. It's the meek, it's the poor in spirit. Those are the ones who are going to receive the work that God does. So there's still within us, even as believers, that desire to sin and the desire to work things out in our own strength. And that's, you know, a lot of the epistles that Paul wrote to young churches, that's the problem. Read Galatians. They started out in the Spirit, and now they're continuing to try and justify themselves now in their own strength and effort. That has not been removed. Neither has the desire for sin been removed the moment